Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We would love to hear from you. So send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today we're excited to have back with us Sarah Beth Meyer. And Sarah holds a master's in theology, and she's put this to very good use in preparing the gospel for presentation to children in her series, The Gospels for Little Ones. And these beautiful books are available at ewtnrc.com. You can go out to Sarah's website, sarabethmeyer.com. Well, I love the Gospel of Matthew. I love the Gospel of Mark for little ones. You know, when you and I first had a great conversion, we learned to read the Bible in comic book form. There was a comic book, and it was about, had Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in it, and it was about this big, and we would sit and read. We were straight from the street. We did not know the Word of God. We needed to be saved. We were saved, and God
and we shall be saved.
And we are being saved from ourselves. And the beautiful thing is, it was alive. Just as it is in my very beautiful leather-bound Bible that I have now, and just as beautiful in these books, because it's the Word of God, and it transforms your life. And especially as Catholics, we hear the Word of God read at every Mass. We hear the Old Testament. We hear the Psalm. We hear the New Testament. We hear the Gospel. We need to teach and train ourselves to listen, to read, to let that Word penetrate our hearts and minds and spirits and set our hearts on fire for
Him. These are the perfect books, Gospel of Matthew and Mark, for parents, grandparents to read the Word of God to their children, perhaps elaborate on it some. There's nothing like having your loved ones read the Word of God, that it might more fully convert our children who are made in the image and likeness of God, who are examples to us. Unless you humble yourself, become like a child. And that theme, humble yourself, become like a child, is in these two books so clearly. So plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we are excited to have Sarah Beth Meyer with us again today. She holds a master's in theology, and she's put it to great use in preparing the gospel for presentation to children in this beautiful series, The Gospels for Little Ones. And these books are available at ewtnrc.com. And also go out to Sarah's website, sarabethmeyer.com. Well, Sarah, yesterday went so fast, and so we're excited to have you back today because we have a lot to talk about. We want you to tell our family the format of the books. What are they going to find inside these beautiful books? And why did you write little ones instead of small children?
Well, one of the first pages of the books is my favorite page. It's one that says that we're not heretics. It's got the imprimatur on it from Marian Press, which is very, very important, actually.
It is important.
So I love that. And then when you look through the books, you'll see a picture on the left and three stanzas on the right, and the picture will correspond to one of the stanzas, which is a great way to read to little ones and check for reading comprehension.
And you have the chapter heading.
And on the, and then on the side, right, the far margin, then you can literally go through chapter by chapter, every gospel, every chapter, and see, which has been lovely. We have a large family, and my kids are always bringing kids through, and I'm always evangelizing, and so we've had teenage boys see the books and pick one up, and one young man was reading, and it was about the temptation in the desert, and he looked at me and said, "For real?" "Yes, that really happened." Mm-hmm. And so there's such an easy approach when you look at them. Yeah. There's nothing daunting. Right. It's easy to pick up, and then you start to read it, and then it does. It draws you in.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm.
Even when I present to adults, you know, sometimes that kind of that natural frown that can rest on an older face, and I'm like, oh, here we go, and I'll stand up. But then I'll read Holy Week from Mark to them, and it's about 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I've had older people just stunned. I had a woman come up to me afterwards, and she said, you could have heard a pin drop.
Yeah.
Because it's the truth.
Right.
Yes.
You know, we are moved by beauty, goodness, and truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was saying during the first show, I kept on getting this image of kind of a mother bird, you know, chipping away at the food that she was going to give to the little bird, that they could digest it. That's the way I see the scriptures that you have here, is that they are accurate. Yeah. It is the same food. You've broken it down a little bit. You have an imprimatur. The Word of God is there, they're saying. It's beautifully done. I wanted to read about the Gospel of Mark. So you have a little introduction. In Mark 9 and 10, Jesus explains to his disciples that they must become like little children to enter the kingdom of heaven. How can we grow in childlike trust? So these are the lessons that are coming out of this. How can we be generous like the boy in Mark 6, whose food is the means of a miracle? We can be persistent like the mother in Mark 7, and honest about our shortcomings like the father in Mark 9. In both cases, the childlike faith of the parents prompts Jesus to heal their children. Mm-hmm. And you do the same thing in Matthew. It's a beautiful introduction, and the words are there, the chapters are there, beautiful illustrations to go along with it. So it's really hitting on numerous senses, and it really does get in. You know, they say garbage in, garbage out, beauty in, truth in, beauty out, truth, you know, being translated, you know, out to other people. It's a real gift that you've got. It's really a profound work, and it's beautifully done.
And they're convicting. So I still have a hard time reading them without crying, and my kids will make fun of me like, Mom, you wrote them. But no, I didn't. I didn't. You know, I feel Mother Teresa, the pencil in the hand of God, like, here, Lord. Matthew 25 is one of the most convicting
stanzas. That's what I'm turning to
stanzas.
Right now.
Yes, please. She did a great picture, Allison.
Yes.
Allison is so
your
diligent.
Illustrator. Yeah.
You know, you had mentioned the website. Years ago, Allison said, when I was just speaking and writing articles, she said, would you like a website? And I said, why? Mm-hmm. She said, I think you're going to need one. So she's been my webmaster for years, and now she's the illustrator, and and she gets the newsletters out, which we can talk about the newsletters. But that beautiful illustration, Matthew 25 is the judgment. So if you remember, it's the sheep and the goats. Lord, Lord, when did we see you? When did we see you? And he delineates all of the physical needs of people.
Yeah.
So here we have this stanza is, Jesus said when judgment comes, it won't be what they think. Did they feed the hungry, give a thirsty one a drink? Faith is more than just believing. It is service done in love. God lives in every person, not just on his throne above.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to read that.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, pick another one.
Because you kind of scolded me when I said I read the book. And she goes, did you read it out loud?
Did you read it out loud?
I said, no, I didn't read it out loud. You need to read it out loud.
No,
you need to read it out loud.
You do. You do need to read it out loud. And, I mean, my boys would turn anything into a rap. I mean, that's just how they would do it. And that's how they memorize. And they would even do the times table to a rap. Because if they got it in a song, they got it down. And if I was saying this to them, they would be going boom, 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 boom. They'd be doing it in a song. They'd be like, boys. But that's how it gets in.
That's right.
And that's the point. You want it to totally penetrate our heart so that in another time in life, it's something to draw from.
That's right.
It's an encounter to have. It's to say, no, I know him. And to see the beautiful illustrations by Allison. And so two are done. So you have two more to come, right?
Well, they're all done.
Right?
Oh, they're all done.
But they're being released in the liturgical year. Explain that to
us all. It's such a beauty. You know, God loves all of his people and all of the denominations that God just wants to gather us all together. So for Catholics and Protestants who follow the common lectionary, these are being released for the lectionary cycle.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For fundamentalist evangelical Protestants, they're being released in Bible order. And these years, it's the same. So cycle A, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John, as we know, is incorporated into Mark. And so I've been joking that if something goes amiss and John never gets released, I'll only be the author of the Synoptic Gospels for little ones.
And talk about the terminology that you used, little ones. You could have said the Gospels for little children, for what, but you chose little ones. Explain that and why.
That was a specific Holy Spirit moment. I was praying. How should these be titled? Is this for small children? No. Is this for young families? No. This is for little ones. Mm-hmm. God calls us to that humility. All of the Teresa's, right? Mother Teresa, you don't have to do great things, but little things with great love. Saint Therese, that she wanted to be the little flower, so God did the effort, so God would reach down and do the distance for her of that sanctification. You know, there's a beauty in littleness, there's a surrender in littleness, you know, where you know you don't have all the answers, and Jesus encourages that. And so we have very, very much decided, very intentionally decided on each of the covers that there would be a child, because there's a lot of Bible stories without them. Right. And so with Matthew, it's when Jesus is saying, unless you're like a little child, you know, you cannot enter the kingdom. And then of course, the fishes and loaves, like, can you use these, Jesus? You know, just, and so Luke, sneak peek, Luke will be a departure because the cover, instead of light with dark writing, will be dark, like, you know, the night Jesus was born, with light writing, because Luke means light, and Jesus is the light in our darkness. And, you know, when you do these Gospels and you start to learn all the different facets, I didn't realize that the shepherds were only in Luke. And so that's our chance to say, oh, this iconic Christmas scene, this is particular to Luke's telling of Christmas. Yeah. So that's our cover.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate, and I'm sensitive to this, is in the illustration of the children, that they come in all shapes and sizes.
Because
colors, because we have biracial grandchildren. And when you open up books, I mean, and we have a lot of books, there's nobody they can identify with.
Right.
Everybody's white, you know, because everything's being marketed from a white man's world or a white woman's world. And it's like, wait a minute, we're diverse. We're the church. And even Dr. Sue, right? I mean, she's Asian. And so you get the full breadth of it all, and to say, we look different, we are different, but we worship and adore the same God who then transforms our lives, because the word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it will not change.
So that's amazing that you brought that up, because when Matthew came out, long story, but the point of it is that I was at a car dealership, and it was an African-American saleswoman, and then, you know, you get into conversations as they're checking prices. Oh, what do you do? You know, you're passing the time. Oh, this is actually what I just started doing. And she was visibly touched and moved, and said two things. She's wanted to get more into the word, and she's wanted to read something to her grandbabies. And she looked at the cover, and then to hear that it's nonprofit. So these got into inner city, Protestant, black Houston in a way that I couldn't have delivered them. You know, how God just continues to scatter that seed to be sown. It's beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how's it, well, I don't know if I'm going to put you on the spot with exactly, but how is it selling among Protestants and Catholics? You don't want to speak about that?
No, I mean, please. It's like the best part of the whole story. Well, there's so many best parts, right? But so our publisher, the senior books editor, was even said, like, oh, like the Gospels. Once they were out, he actually made mention, like, it almost seemed a little Protestant because it's the focus on the Gospels. And I said, funny that you say that, because our non-Roman Catholic brothers and sisters are putting these in their stores, and we have this little tiny, it's literally called The Nest, a teeny, teeny, tiny Christian bookstore in the town where I live. They've sold by the hundreds. There have been a couple hundred of these books sold. The books are selling so well there that there was a sign for a book sale, and it said 40% off all books except the Bible and books by Sarah Beth Meyer, because they were doing that well. So Matthew and Mark have both already gone to reprint before Luke is even out. It's miraculous.
It's beautiful.
you refer to or you speak about being an ambassador to the Protestant and an evangelist to the Catholic.
Exactly.
What do you mean?
Exactly. I feel like an ambassador to the Protestants. Like, yes, we know Jesus too. Yes, mm-hmm. we love Jesus too. Yes, he is my personal Lord and Savior. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So because the language tends to be different, right. you know, I've had Protestants talk to me and they say, I think you really do know Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
you know, and they're surprised. But sometimes in practicing the Catholic faith, because it can be private, we remain private, right? We don't share that love and the joy of the gospel, which we are called to do.
Yeah. Right.
And then among the Catholics, we're the rich kids.
Mm-hmm.
The fullness of truth, all the treasures of the faith, everything. When people hear the word tradition, they think like it's some staunch old thing. No, it means the fullness, like right. all of it. Like we've taken it and we haven't scrapped what doesn't make sense to us in the moment. We've kept it forward and passed mm-hmm. it on as right. the fullness of the heritage of our faith.
Right. As opposed where we need to be saying, do you know what I read in the Word of God today? Do you know what I mean? And share it and tell it and just say, I've read that 100 times, but today,
Amen.
Because that was the day God wanted to apply and make a change inside of me. Well, Sarah, tell our family what they can find at your website. What else
can
they find?
Well, thanks to Dr. Allison Sue. There's so many things. We have a newsletter that we do every month, and by God's grace, we have native speakers translate it into Spanish and Chinese.
Okay.
And that's all, everything that's on there is all free of charge. Download it, print it off. She has coloring pages. She painstakingly went back and retraced her Last Supper picture from mm-hmm. Mark and put a QR code on it so the parents can download the resources and sign up for the newsletter and the kids can color the mm-hmm. Last Supper. How beautiful is mm-hmm. that?
Yes.
And she again painstakingly went through and did the tips packet where she shows what art had inspired her, the classical Christian art. In Matthew, she actually used the Caravaggio mm-hmm. calling of Matthew and simplified and lightened it.
Yeah,
and her Matthew,
beautiful.
You could see he's like, who, me?
Yeah.
You know, it's so adorable. And she aligned the readings of the Sunday Masses with the readings in the book so the kids, mm-hmm. the parents can prepare their yeah. children.
Mm-hmm.
And it does work. I'll be in Mass and I've had my kids go, and then they'll say the stanza to me that's being read. And,
yeah.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Like the words planted in their heart.
Yeah.
And the art, and I can't let you go without, I brought a gift from Allison.
Okay.
This, if you believe it, this, go ahead and open it.
Okay.
That's the size of the original artwork. She did very small. And so when they're blown up like that, she's a little horrified because she can see all her stray marks and which imperfections of watercolor.
I'm trying to open this.
Yes,
quickly.
Go ahead.
I want to be careful,
and,
but quickly. It's
one of my favorite scenes. Look at that.
Oh, how beautiful. I love it. Oh, what an artist.
And she's very receding, but she did sign it. It's mm-hmm. in the, she made it
beautiful.
Look like weeds.
Thank you.
Right
yes.
behind
I
the
love
gal that's
Sarah,
kneeling.
Thank
over.
You so much
thank
for being
you.
With us. Thank you for your service to the church. Thank you for the reconciliation that you're bringing between Protestants and Catholics. You're an important part of the renewal that's taking place in the church. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Father John
Thank
Paul's you. Here with us, and we'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we so enjoyed having Sarah with us. Father, what did you think of Sarah's show with us today?
It was awesome. Makes me want to just read, mm-hmm. right? And not just read, you know, silently, but audibly. Mm-hmm. I'm an auditory learner, so I constantly listen to things all the time. And I think growing up, you know, looking back, it makes sense because I used to love, you know, people reading to me, mm-hmm. my mom reading to me all the time. Mm-hmm. Last Friday was the feast of Saints Joachim and Anne.
Mm-hmm.
And also this past Sunday was World Grandparents Day. You know, I just like to emphasize the importance of grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Grandparents are the foundation, I think, of a family. I think it's one of the most important things, in my humble opinion.
Mm-hmm.
of the papacy of Pope Francis. Since at the very beginning of his papacy, he's always emphasized the importance and the role of grandparents. And, grandparents reading the Word of God, not just grandparents, but parents too. Mm-hmm. But I like to emphasize grandparents here. Grandparents reading the Word of God with their grandchildren. And I'm thinking right now, because so often I see when I go out, I see people putting a electronic device into the hands mm-hmm. of their grandchildren or children so that they might not be bothered. Mm-hmm. And it's repulsive to me.
It's disturbing.
It's very disturbing. And I was at the doctor's office one time a couple years ago and saw a grandmother with her grandchild, and he was playing a game on an iPad. And she was sitting there like this, staring off into space at a wall. And immediately I thought, that would have never had been. In my case, I love talking to my grandparents. But I think my grandfather would have, beat mm-hmm. that out of me.
Right.
He would have taken the iPad and crushed it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you want to talk to your grandmother? Right. She has so...
And you could play a game. You could do tic-tac-toe. You're interacting. You could sit there and do something.
But this is something to read.
Mm-hmm.
This book
mm-hmm.
is something to read audibly with your grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be a great thing for anybody to pick up.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank
you, Father. Close us with a prayer and blessing, please.
Family at home, we pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he turn his face to you and be merciful to you. And may he show you his kindness and give you his peace. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Think of that scripture, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Can't tell you how many testimonies that we heard. We heard a testimony recently from a man who was an abortionist, but in his early days he heard some scripture, and how the Lord calls that up at a particular time, how it echoes down deep into the soul and can begin to call people the most wayward back. Let's start with our children very early in revering and loving the Word of God. God bless you and all of your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.